Ishik splashed toward the meeting with the strange foreigners, his pole with buckets on each end resting on his shoulders. He wore lake sandals on his submerged feet and a pair of knee-length breeches. No shirt. Neuralic forbid. A good, pure laker never covered his shoulders when the sun was shining. A man could get sick that way, not getting enough sunlight. He whistled, but not because he was having a pleasant day. In point of fact, the day Neuralic had provided was close to horrible. Only 5 fish swam in Ishik's buckets, and 4 were of the dullest, most common variety. The tides had been irregular, as if the pure lake itself was in a foul mood. Bad days were coming, sure as the sun and the tide they were. The pure lake extended in all directions, hundreds of miles wide, its glassy surface perfectly transparent. At its deepest, it was never more than 6 feet from shimmering surface to the bottom, and in most places, the warm, slow-moving water came up only to about mid-calf. It was filled with tiny fish, colorful kremlings, and eel-like river spren. The pure lake was life itself. Once this land had been claimed by a king. Sela Tarez, the nation had been called, one of the epic kingdoms. Well, they could name it what they wanted, but Neuralic knew that the boundaries of nature were far more important than the boundaries of nations. Ishik was a pure laker, first and foremost. By tide and sun he was. He walked confidently through the water, though the footing could sometimes be precarious. The pleasantly warm water lapped at his legs just below the knees. He knew to move slowly, careful not to put his weight down before he was sure he wasn't stepping on a spike mane or a sharp lip of rock. Ahead, the village of Fuabra broke the glassy perfection. A cluster of buildings perched on blocks beneath the water, their domed roofs made them look like the rock buds that sprouted from the ground, and they were the only things for miles around that broke the surface of the Pure Lake. Other people walked about here, moving with the same slow gait. It was possible to run through the water, but there was rarely a reason. What could be so important that you had to go and make a splash and ruckus getting to it? Ishik shook his head at that. He nodded to Thaspik, the dark-skinned man who passed him pulling a small raft. It was stacked with a few piles of cloth. He'd probably taken them out for washing.
Oh, Ishik, how's fishing?
Terrible. Vun Makak has blighted me right good today. And you?
Lost a shirt while washing.
Ah, that's the way of things. Are my foreigners here?
Sure are. Over at Mabe's place.
Vun Makak send they don't eat her out of home, or infect her with their constant worries.
Sun and tide send it.
Mabe's house was near the center of the village. Ishik wasn't sure what made her want to live inside the building. Most nights he did just fine sleeping on his raft. It never got cold in the Pure Lake, except during high storms, and you could last through those right well. Neuralic send the way. The Pure Lake drained into pits and holes when the storms came, and so you just shoved your raft into a crevice between 2 ridges of stone and huddled up next to it, using it to break the fury of the tempest. The storms weren't so bad out here as they were in the east, where they flung boulders and blew down buildings. Oh, he'd heard stories about that sort of life. Neuralic said he never had to go to such a terrible place. Besides, it was probably cold there. Ishik pitied those who had to live in the cold. Why didn't they just come to the Pure Lake?
Neuralic said that they don't.
He walked up to Mabe's place. If everyone knew how nice the Pure Lake was, surely they'd all want to live here, and there wouldn't be a place to walk without stumbling over some foreigner. He stepped up into the building, exposing his calves to the air. The floor was low enough that a few inches of water still covered it. Pure Lakers liked it that way. It was natural, though if the tide dropped, sometimes buildings would drain. Minnows shot out across his toes, common types, nothing worth anything. Mabe stood inside, fixing a pot of fish soup, and she nodded to him. She was a stout woman and had been chasing Ishik for years, trying to bait him to wed her on account of her fine cooking.
I just might let her catch me someday.
His foreigners were in the corner at a table only they would choose, the one that was raised up an extra bit with footrests so that the outsiders wouldn't have to get their toes wet.
Neuralic, what fools! Inside out of the sun, wearing shirts against its warmth. Feet out of the tide. No wonder the thoughts are so odd.
He set his buckets down, nodding to Mabe.
Good fishing?
Terrible.
Ah, well. Your soup is free today, Ishik, to make up for Vun Macaque's cursing.
Thanks much kindly.
He took a steaming bowl from her. She smiled. Now he owed her enough bowls, and he'd be forced to wed her.
There's a cold girl in the bucket for you. Caught it early this morning.
Her stout face grew uncertain. A coal grill was a very lucky fish. Cured aching joints for a good month after you ate it, and sometimes let you see when friends were going to visit by letting you read the shapes of the clouds. Mabe had quite a fondness for them, on account of the finger aches Neuralik had sent her. One coal grill would be 2 weeks of soup, and would put her in debt to him.
Vun Macaque, aye you, that's one all right. How am I ever gonna catch you, man?
I'm a fisher, Mabe. Hard to catch a fisher. You know that.
He walked up to his foreigners as she plucked out the coal grill. There were three of them. Two were dark-skinned Macabaki, though they were the strangest Macabaki he'd ever seen. One was thick-limbed, where most of his kind were small and fine-boned, and he had a completely bald head. The other was taller, with short dark hair, lean muscles, and broad shoulders. In his head, Ishik called them Grump and Blunt, on account of their personalities. The third man had light, tan skin, like an Alethi. He didn't seem quite right either, though. The eyes were the wrong shape, and his accent was certainly not Alethi. He spoke the Sile language worse than the other two, and usually stayed quiet. He seemed thoughtful, though. Ishik called him Thinker.
Wonder how he earned that scar across his scalp.
Life outside the Pure Lake was very dangerous. Lots of wars, particularly to the east.
You are late, traveler.
The speaker was the tall, stiff Blunt. He had the build and air of a soldier, though none of the three carried weapons. Ishik frowned, sitting and reluctantly pulling his feet out of the water.
Isn't it Warly Day?
The day is right, friend. But we were to meet at noon. Understand?
Grump generally did most of the talking.
We're close to that.
Who paid attention to what hour it was?
Foreigners, always so busy.
Grump just shook his head as Mabe brought them some soup. Her place was the closest thing the village had to an inn. She left Ishik a soft cloth napkin and nice cup of sweet wine, trying to balance that fish as quickly as possible.
Very well. Let us have your report, friend.
I've been by Fu Ralis, Fu Namir, Fu Albast, and Fu Marin this month. Nobody has seen this man you search for.
You asked the right questions? You are certain?
Of course I'm certain. I've been doing this for ages now.
5 months, and no results.
You wish me to make up stories? Vun Macaque would like me to do that.
No, no stories, friend. We want only the truth.
Well, I've given it to you.
You swear it by Neuralik, that god of yours.
Hush! Don't say his name. Are you idiots?
But he is your god. Understand? Is his name holy, not to be spoken?
Foreigners were so stupid. Of course Neuralik was their god, but you always pretended that he wasn't. Vun Macaque, his younger spiteful brother, had to be tricked into thinking you worshipped him. Otherwise, he'd get jealous. It was only safe to speak of these things in a holy grotto.
I swear it by Vun Macaque. May he watch over me and curse me as he pleases. I have looked diligently. No foreigner like this one you mention, with his white hair, clever tongue, and arrow-like face, has been seen.
He dyes his hair sometimes, and wears disguises.
I've asked, using the names you gave me. Nobody has seen him. Now, perhaps I could find a fish that could locate him. I bet a stumpy court could do it. Might take me a while to find him, though.
The three looked at him.
There may be something to these fish, you know.
Superstition. You always look for superstition, Vow.
Vow wasn't the man's real name. Ishik was sure they used fake names. That was why he used his own names for them. If they were going to give him fake names, he'd give them fake names back.
And you, Timu. We can't pontificate our way to...
Gentlemen!
Thinker nodded to Ishik. All three of them switched to another language and continued their argument. Ishik listened with half an ear, trying to determine what language it was. He never had been good with other kinds of languages. Why did he need them? Didn't help with fishing or selling fish. He had searched for their man. He got around a lot, visited a lot of places around the Pure Lake. It was one of the reasons why he didn't want to be caught by Mabe. He'd have to settle down, and that wasn't good for catching fish. Not the rare ones, at least. He didn't bother wondering why they were looking for this Hoid, whoever he was. Foreigners were always looking for things they couldn't have. Ishik sat back, dangling his toes in the water. That felt good. Eventually, they finished their argument. They gave him some more instructions, handed him a pouch of spheres, and stepped down into the water. Like most foreigners, they wore thick boots that came all the way up to their knees. They walked to the entrance. Ishik followed, waving to Mab and picking up his buckets. He'd be back later in the day for an evening meal.
Maybe I should let her catch me.
He stepped back out into the sunlight.
New Ralik knows I'm getting old. Might be nice to relax.
His foreigners splashed down into the Pure Lake. Grump was last. He seemed very dissatisfied.
Where are you, Roma? What a fool's quest this is.
Then, he spoke in his own tongue.
Alavanta Kamalukayama.
He splashed after his companions.
Well, you've got the fool part right.
Ishik turned his own direction and headed off to check on his traps.